It's the 18th, one more week left in the Prabhupada Marathon. It's a really drab day here, as days have been in Budapest, and it's raining. The only benefit is that it's extremely mild. Right now it's 9 degrees, and yesterday extremely mild. Right now it's 9 degrees, and yesterday it was up to 12 degrees. So that's nice for the Sankhan devotees, but wet, and I hope they're not getting cold. Yesterday, flew early morning to Paris. I had to leave the temple just at the beginning of Mangal Arati. Reason being was to have a meeting with devotees also see some other property. Yes, we do have an existing property. However, some donors came forward with not only pledges, but actual cash and very significant amount of cash, which they already placed in their bank to buy an adjoining property, big property, 1,400 square meter property with a fair-sized house in the center of that, as well as planning permission to be able to be a temple or a temple facility. And since they were willing to actually finance that venture, so we went to see some other real estate. We met with the owners of this desired property. We had meetings, and then I came back here and got in the temple at 11:30 at night. It was a long, long day, but very productive. Actually, I didn't mention, or I may have just mentioned, but didn't discuss, on Monday I went to Estergom. Estergom is one of the headquarters of the Catholic Church in Hungary. It's at the north. It's almost where the Danube takes a really strong turn, and instead of going from west to east, it turns and goes north-south. And there's a very, very ancient temple there, church, and Catholic church. And there's also a seminary and other residences. There's about 60 students. I went to actually visit the bishop and the rector of that seminary and talk with him. He deals with interfaith between the Catholic Church and other faith organizations. He also is the liaison with the Roma community. Roma means gypsy. And we had an interesting discussion. It's a similar discussion that we have with many other Christian spiritual leaders, church leaders, although it had perhaps a few unusual characteristics. The common characteristic was, as usual, the real inability for Christians and even Catholics to comprehend the true distinction between matter and spirit, between body and soul, and to understand spiritual identity as being something that's completely separate and not dependent of and independent of the body. I'm just always amazed at how, literally speaking, brainwashed and incapable these people are of understanding what Prabhupada would say. Any child can understand the body is always changing. We're the same, therefore you can't be the body. And of course part of that is to do with having incorporated violence and meat-eating, animal slaughter as part of an acceptable process. practice or part of the theology. And Bhagavatam says, Nivittatasha Rupagiyamana Bina Pashugna, those who practice such violence, they won't really be able to get a full picture of what Bhagavad Dharma is about. But that's nothing new. Anyone who meets and preaches to others, generally, that's what you'll come across with. It's very rare that people, that priests or rabbis or ministers or bishops or whoever will even understand what to speak of, identify, and accept their real identity as being only, solely, holy, transcendental, and not to do with this body, temporary body. What was sort of unique to this meeting was actually how ill-informed this bishop was about what Krishna consciousness is, and not even what Krishna consciousness is, but what Hinduism is about. He began the discussion. He was very straightforward, and so was I. And we spoke for over an hour and a half by criticizing his concept of what he thought was the transmigration of the soul. It had nothing to do with Bhagavad Gita. It was more a Buddhist concept because it ended in the annihilation of the identity, annihilation of the soul. And I pointed out to him that that wasn't what we believed in. However, because he has this strong conception that identity and personality are all something which are connected with the body, therefore still he had difficulty to understand that actually the identity of a person, the qualities of personality and so on, that they will actually remain with the soul as it transmigrates from one body to another. So really ill-informed, so ill-informed that he brought me a whole bunch of Buddhist books that he'd been reading, but I saw him, this is Buddhism, which is nihilism and has got nothing really to do with Hinduism or Krishna consciousness. And he was also very shocked, very surprised that we believed in one God and that we believed in God being a person. That was news for him as well. So it doesn't really say very much for someone who's supposed to be knowing these things, since he's the one who's the country's liaison with other religious organizations. But he was very pleasant, and after we left, and he offered whatever assistance we may need. So it was very nice. And then after that, I went to visit a new center that we opened in not Esztergom, but Esztergom's right on the Danube, but on the other side, which is Slovakia, and the two are this. They're sort of twin cities connected by a bridge. And Madhukanta Prabhu, a Budapest devotee, and his wife, Shamasangi, and then their friend had actually opened a center over there. And this is it's not yet open, it's completed. But kitchen equipment and some other furniture have yet to be installed, but it's really a model place. It's 450 square meters, which is 4,500 square feet, and that's big. It has a yoga hall, it has a conference hall, a shop, a bio shop, a little meeting room, a restaurant, and it's right on the high street, and everything's brand new. The building is completely renovated by the landlord, and they've, you know, the paint, the plastering, the tiles on the floor, the furniture, everything is spanking brand new. So it's really beautiful. It's a model, and I'll be curious to see how it goes, because the cities, even Esztergom is only 30,000, and this other Slovak city, which I forget the name, is 10,000. A lot of the people who go there are tourists. It's a very touristy place. Anyhow, I'm curious to see how it does, and I'm hoping and it should go well, because it's a really good template for what I would like to see taking place in the towns of Hungary. Budapest Temple and Farm are unique projects. Other places, at least in my lifetime and probably in the lifetime of some of the devotees, I don't envisage that we would be doing this type of scale as we have in either of these places, Budapest and the Farm, but rather, Srila Prabhupada said, restaurant, reading room, and after that a yoga hall. Anyway, we also have that in Debrecen, on somewhat of a smaller scale. We have plans there to expand the facility, and that's also fully financed by congregation. And this also place in Esztergom is also fully financed by the congregation. So it's a it's really nice, and my conviction is that's really the direction ISKCON needs to go. Number one is that temples or centers that are open need to be financed at least by local congregation, those who are willing to take responsibility, not necessarily by the society. And the other is that restaurant, preaching, shops, yoga, congregational development not are the way to go, not basing things on deities, temple room, and facilities which have very restrictive usage, and also which house full-time devotees, Sankirtan devotees, rather than our facilities for congregation, and there may be some full-time devotees there. And the reason being, and that's something that I mentioned before, because it's very difficult to solve the economic needs of those full-time devotees with such small centers once they become grihasthas and want to develop families. And what to speak of the economic needs, it's difficult to fulfill the needs of the children, which is to have Gurukula. Anyhow, tomorrow, another day, and I'll try and send a direct message to everyone. All the best with the marathon, and Hare Krishna.